"Over to you," Mayer said. "Thanks." She opened the channel to the bay's datanet.
MBO-330, this is UDAT. We have your cargo paid for and waiting, ready for your unload instructions. How do you want to handle it, Joshua? Time is money.
Cherry, is that you? Joshua datavised back.
No one else on board will lower themselves to talk to you.
I wasn't expecting you for another week. You've made good time.
Mayer datavised an access order into his console.
You are the best ship. You get the best time.
I'll remember that, Joshua told him. Next time I have some money, I'll make sure I go for a decent ship.
We can always take our nodes elsewhere, Mr. Hotshot Starship Captain, who's never been outside the ruin ring.
My nodes, genetic throwback, who's too scared to go in the ruin ring and earn a living.
It's not the ruin ring which worries me. It's what the Lord of Ruin does to people who skip out system before they register their fines in tranquility.
There was an unusually long pause. Mare and Cherry shared a bemused glance.
"I'll send Ashley out with the Lady Mac's MSV to pick up the nodes," Joshua said. "And you're all invited to the party tonight."
"So this is the famous Lady Macbeth?" Mayer asked a couple of hours later. He was in Bay 330's cramped control center with Joshua, his left foot anchored by a stick pad, looking out through the glass bubble wall into the bay itself. The 57-meter ship resting on the cradle in the middle of the floor was naked to space. Its hull plates had been stripped off, exposing the systems and tank engines' fantastically complex silver and white entrails. They were all contained beside a hexagonal lattice stress structure. Jump nodes were positioned over each junction. Red and green striped superconductor cabling wormed inwards from each node, plugged directly into the ship's fusion generators. Mayer hadn't thought about it before, but the lenticular nodes were almost identical to the Voidhawk profile. Engineers wearing black SII suits and maneuvering packs were propelling themselves over the open stress structure, running tests and replacing components. Others rode platforms on the end of multi-segment arms, which were fitted out with heavy tools to handle the larger systems. Yellow strobes flashed on all the bay's mobile equipment, sending sharp-edged amber circles slicing over every surface in crazy gyrating patterns. Hundreds of data cables were stretched between the ship and the five interface couplings around the base of the cradle. It was almost as though Lady Macbeth was being tethered down by a net of optical fibers. A 2-meter diameter airlock tube had concertinaed out from the bay wall just below the control center, giving the maintenance team access to the life support capsules buried at the core of the ship. Brackets on the bay walls held various systems waiting to be installed. Mayer couldn't see where they could possibly fit. Lady Macbeth's space plane clung to one wall like a giant supersonic moth, wings in their forward sweep position. The additional tanks and power cells Joshua had strapped on for flights to the ruin ring were gone. A couple of suited figures and a cyber drone were trying to remove the thick foam from the fuselage with a solvent spray. Crumbling grey flakes were flying off in all directions.
"What were you expecting?" Joshua asked. "A Saturn V?"
He was strapped into a restraint web behind a cyberdrome operations console. The boxy drones ran along the rails which spiraled up the bay walls, giving them access to any part of the docked ship. Three of them were currently clustered round an auxiliary fusion generator, which was being eased into its mountings at the end of long white Waldo arms. Engineers floated around it, supervising the cyber drones, which were performing the installation, mating cables, coolant lines, and fuel hoses. Joshua monitored their progress through the omnidirectional AV projectors arrayed around his console.
"More like a battle cruiser," Mayer said. "I saw the power ratings on those nodes, Joshua. You could jump 15 light years with those brutes fully charged."
"Something like that," he said absently. Mayer grunted and turned back to the starship. The MSV was returning from another trip to UDAT, a pale green oblong box 3 meters long with small spherical tanks bunched together on the base and three segmented Waldo arms ending in complex manipulators sprouting from the mid-fuselage section. It was carrying a package node coasting down towards one of the engineering shop airlocks.